Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the possibility that Venezuela will be laying out the red carpet for Edward Snowden, and go to Caracas, Venezuela to speak with David Smaldi, a senior fellow at the Washington Office of Latin America, who has taught at the Universidad Central de Venezuela and the Universidad Católica Andrés Bello. We will discuss the likely impact of Venezuela taking in Snowden at a time when there were signs of improvement in relations between the U.S. and the Maduro government. Then we will speak with an expert on the Arab media, Marwan Kredi, a professor at the Annenberg School for Communication at the University of Pennsylvania and author of Arab Television Industries. With Al Jazeera banned from press conferences by Egyptian journalists and the Saudis Al Arabiya, the mouthpiece for Egypt's Salafist Al Nour party, we will discuss the outside influence of rival Saudi-backed and Qatari-backed TV networks in shaping and covering the coup underway in Egypt. Then finally, following today's car bombing in a Hezbollah stronghold of Beirut, we will look into the possibility of the proxy war next door in Syria spreading into Lebanon in retaliation to Hezbollah's brigades joining in the Syrian civil war. Beirut-based freelance writer and editor Emily Dish Becker joins us to discuss whether the Free Syrian Army is making good on its threat to bring the war home to Hezbollah. Joining us now is David Smaldi, who is a senior fellow at the Washington Office of Latin America, specializing in Venezuela, and a professor of sociology at the University of Georgia. His research focuses on social movements, human rights, and culture in Venezuela. Professor Smaldi has researched Venezuela for the past 20 years and has lived there for a total of 10 years, during which time he taught at the Universidad Central de Venezuela and the Universidad Católica Andrés Bello. He is currently working on a book, Venezuela's Transition to Socialism, Politics and Human Rights Under Chavez, and he joins us from Caracas, Venezuela. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Smaldi.
Thank you for having me.
And it appears that Venezuela is about to lay out the red carpet for Edward Snowden, a Russian lawmaker, Alexei Pushkov, who's been pretty much the point man on releasing information from the Kremlin, said basically that this is his last chance and that Snowden will go to Venezuela. That tweet was immediately deleted, but at this point, I guess it's the best information we have. What's the local reaction to the possibility that Venezuela will host this American fugitive?
Well, like everything else in Venezuela, it's very polarized. People that support the government think that it's great, think that it really gives Venezuela profile and fits in with their revolution. People who oppose the government see it as a way to sort of distract people from all the other problems that are going on in the country, such as the contested elections in April, as well as economic shortages that have been affecting the country over the past month.
But it seems that this will impact. I mean, I think one can predict that this will impact U.S.-Venezuelan relations negatively. Not that they've been particularly good, but there was some indication that they were improving with a recent meeting between Secretary of State Kerry and Venezuela's foreign minister at a conference in Guatemala. What's your understanding of whether relations were improving?
Well, I think clearly they were improving. You know, there was a high-level meeting, the highest-level meeting since Chavez met Obama in 2009. This meeting was between Venezuela's foreign minister, Elias Jaua, and U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, and this was in the context of the OAS meetings in Antigua, Guatemala. And they came up with an agreement that they were going to work on a common agenda and work towards exchanging ambassadors again between the two countries. And so that was very, very positive, and there's been some progress since then. And so clearly that progress is going to be on hold and could significantly deteriorate. You know, this is something that's clearly going to be an affront to the United States and clearly an affront to the, you know, warming relations. And so I think, you know, I'm not sure that it's going to necessarily go too far beyond that. I think for Venezuela, for the United States, the optics of this whole case are not good. It's not really good public relations anywhere. You know, the fact that the United States, you know, these revelations, the United States has been spying on its own citizens and in other countries, and now they're chasing this person around the world, it just doesn't look all that good. And so I'm not so sure that, you know, that once he gets asylum in Venezuela or elsewhere, the U.S. is going to continue to push on this. They might just prefer to let it sort of die and go away.
So do you think, David Smaldi, that what happened to the airplane of President Evo Morales of Bolivia that was forced down in Vienna recently, do you think that changed Maduro's mind? If he was wanting better relations with the United States, it seems that he's reversed himself, and I suspect that that might be a part of it.
Yeah, I think clearly that was fundamental. That was a fundamental shift. I think what happened there clearly made this into an issue, at least in the region, at least in Latin America, made this an issue of national sovereignty and independence vis-a-vis the United States. It made this a much broader issue rather than just being sort of far left. It came to be much more of a centrist type issue. And I think, you know, Maduro would have the support of virtually all Latin American presidents on this. I think beyond that, you know, just in the past couple of days, the revelation that the U.S. has been spying on Brazil as well makes it even more so. You know, now they have Brazil, who previously had denied Snowden's asylum request. Now they have Brazil much closer on their side and upset about what's been going on. And so I think that really did sort of change the balance, because before that, Maduro had been giving quite ambivalent statements. You know, the very first day on the 23rd of June that it looked like Snowden might be coming here, the Maduro government didn't say anything for about 36 hours. You know, in support or against or whatnot, and that was why during that day suddenly it appeared like he was going to go to Ecuador. And later that week, Maduro also said, well, if the United States wants extradition of Snowden, then they should extradite Luis Posada Carriles, which is a person that is in the United States that Venezuela has long wanted the United States to extradite. I mean, that kind of made it look like Snowden would be a bargaining chip. That wasn't all that inviting either. But it was after that Evo Morales flight that I think really shifted the interpretation of this case.
And again, I'm speaking with David Smaldi, who's a senior fellow at the Washington Office of Latin America, specializing in Venezuela, and a professor of sociology at the University of Georgia. His research focuses on social movements, human rights, and culture in Venezuela. And Professor Smaldi has researched Venezuela for the past 20 years and lived there for a total of 10 years, during which time he taught at the Universidad Central de Venezuela and the Universidad Católica Andrés Bello. He is currently working on a book, Venezuela's Transition to Socialism, Politics, and Human Rights, under Chavez, 2008 to 2012, and he joins us from Caracas, Venezuela. So it would seem, though, that given what happened to Evo Morales' plane being forced down and the fact that the Europeans, who supposedly at the time were upset by revelations of U.S. spying on the EU, they nevertheless seemed to cooperate with the U.S. in that regard, assuming that the orders came from the U.S., which I think is a reasonable assumption. That would mean, I take it, that Snowden is going to get out of Russia in a very circuitous route, isn't he? He's going to have to fly from Russia probably to Iran, and then from Iran maybe to South Africa, and then from South Africa to Brazil, and from Brazil to Venezuela. Is there any discussions about what route he may take?
No, I mean, I've only seen the same thing everybody else has seen. Is that, you know, the Washington Post had an article today that showed five possible routes. None of them were very desirable because they all required close to 7,000 miles of flying without, stopping for fuel. And so all of them are dangerous. All of them are undesirable. It's not clear. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I mean, I think, you know, one possibility is what has happened with Julian Assange, you know, who has been in the Ecuadorian embassy in Great Britain for over a year. I mean, Snowden could always end up going to the Venezuelan embassy in Moscow and staying there however long it takes. I don't know. I don't see any really good ways for him to get to Venezuela. I mean, I think the fallout of the Evo Morales grounding, I think, certainly took aback some of the European countries, so it might be a little bit different for them to, you know, deny airspace to a commercial flight. Maybe they'll make a judgment that they can risk it. I'm not sure. It's not at all clear how this will actually work out.
Well, that would be, of course, the Cuban flights from Moscow, which go through European and U.S. airspace.
Right.
But You know, the same Russian official whose tweet seems to be the only evidence that we have that Snowden may be on his way or want to go to Venezuela, that the Russian official Pushkov joked that if Snowden doesn't find shelter in Venezuela, he'll have to stay in Moscow and marry Anna Chapman. And that's, of course, the famous red-headed Russian spy who was among those Russian sleeper agents. And she was deported a couple of years ago from the United States. But apparently this Anna Chapman tweeted the other day a marriage proposal to Snowden. She's 31 years old and he just turned 30. So a match made in heaven. Right.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it might work out.
So, but just returning to the more serious aspects of this, assuming that, just in the last couple of minutes here, Davis Marley, assuming that Snowden shows up in Venezuela, already members of the Congress here are talking about punishing Venezuela with trade sanctions. What's the discussion down there, the price that they're going to pay?
Well, yeah, as I said when we started the interview, like everything in Venezuela is polarized. And so, you know, clearly people in the opposition would like some kind of, you know, strong U.S. response. The government hasn't really discussed it. I mean, I think, you know, the thing is what Venezuela sent the United States is oil. And you know, suddenly cutting off one part of, you know, the U.S. oil supply would affect prices and I think would not be a very popular policy. I'm sure that there's going to be legislators in the U.S. pushing for that, you know, especially the sort of the legislators or the anti-Castro legislators. I don't think it's going to get that far, personally. I think, you know, once Snowden has asylum somewhere, you know, I think the U.S. will probably back off somewhat. They'll make some noise, but then kind of back off and move on because I think they don't really want to draw too much more attention to this case than they have to.
So is anybody talking about the irony that Snowden, and who's obviously in cahoots with WikiLeaks, that the irony that the so-called WikiLeaks, which is all about, supposedly all about press freedom, that their charge is going to end up in a country that's just closed down the last opposition television station?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ironies. I mean, I think even more pointed ironies are that the state television network frequently on some of their shows will put phone calls that have been tapped and analyzed them on national television. Just recently, just in the past couple of weeks, there was a recording of an opposition legislator talking to a private conversation with one of her former professors, and that somehow was taped as well, and they never explained it. They put that on national television. And so those are directly the type of things that Snowden is talking about and that have happened here in Venezuela. So there's a certain irony here. Of course, on all sides, there's lots of irony and there's lots of hypocrisy. But I think, you know, in the best case, who knows, maybe this will generate a little bit more discussion in Venezuela about some of these practices.
Well, David Smiley, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with David Smiley, who's a senior fellow at the Washington Office of Latin America, specializing in Venezuela, and a professor of sociology at the University of Georgia. His research focuses on social movements, human rights, and culture in Venezuela, and Professor Smiley has researched Venezuela for the past 20 years and lived there for a total of 10, during which time he taught at the Universidad Central de Venezuela and the Universidad Católica Andrés Bello. He is currently working on a book, Venezuela's Transition to Socialism, Politics and Human Rights Under Chavez, 2008 to 2012. And he joined us from Caracas, Venezuela. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the role of the press in the coup in Egypt.
Porque está viejo y cansado, pero no se dan de cuenta que un corazón amarrado, cuando le sueltan las riendas, es caballo desbocado. Una potra la sana, caballo viejo se encuentra, el pecho se le desgrana y no le hace caso a faceta, y no le obedece a freno ni lo paran pasas riendas.